Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 323. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
Man, we got a, I say it every week, we got a great episode for you today. Not too much Elon Musk, a little bit of OpenAI, and a lot of laughs and foolhardiness. So that's what's coming.
We think. Guess we don't know for sure because,
I mean,
I don't know if people don't realize this because people have said this before. We don't script the show.
No,
we don't actually plan
this
anything
is off the cuff, man.
Said.
No, I got no idea what you're going to say. That's exactly. That's the beauty of it. You come up with the weirdest stuff and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
And now our listeners understand why it is a dumpster fire sometimes because we don't plan any of this.
I think the best podcaster dumpster fire, like the Kelce brothers have the number one sports podcast and it's just the two of them just chatting it up. People love it. They love
it. I have no idea they had a podcast that they
It's the number one sports podcast. Those guys are crushing it. I don't even know what they talk about. I see clips on TikTok, but that's all I ever see. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Go figure. Okay. We're the new Kelce brothers is what you're saying.
So. Yes.
We're the Kelce brothers of tech news.
Am I the one with the really big beard?
I'm the only one with no beard. I'm closer to the other one then. So there you go. Something else that is close. Bitcoin regains a $1 trillion market cap as the cryptocurrency hits over a two-year high. Adam, have you checked your Coinbase account and how much is your Bitcoin
worth? I check it actually every week just to see what it's at. I think I'm at like...
to be sad.
I think it's at like $2,000 or something. I mean, I mean, in all fairness, I think I bought it when it was only like $500. I think I spent $500 and now it's at like $2,000. So like, it's a fine return. Like, I mean, it's great, you know, but it's been hovering ish in that area for quite a long time. So yeah
I'm just checking Bitcoin's price right now as we're recording is $51,616.
Yeah.
I don't think I bought any Bitcoin, but I have some Bitcoin that was doled out for free in random, like, oh, do this and we'll send you this much Bitcoin. Sign up for this.
That's
app.
Right. That's right. And, yeah.
I was like, okay, fine. I'll take your free
money.
Sure,
why not? Yeah, why not?
And maybe it'll be worth something. And it's worth a little bit more today than yesterday. So
yeah, listen, I'll take it. Speaking of things that might be worth more tomorrow, $13 million and 3 years later, Superlist hopes to become a decacorn, but will it? So this article was about a founder that started Wonderlist that I believe got purchased by Microsoft. So he had a huge exit. To Microsoft. And then, of course, Microsoft did what they do and they didn't really do much with the app at all. And well, now he's back. He needs to do another to-do list, apparently. And he's created Superlist. And I mean, I will say, like, there's always room in the market for better design and innovation, I've seen. Though, personally, I don't see myself moving to a new task list app anytime soon. So, you know.
The question I have is... inevitably, when this gets acquired and gets messed up,
right?
What is the next company called? So it was Wonderlist, Superlist. Is it like Megalist?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Megalist or like Platinum List or like something like it's got to get better and better every time, you know?
I think we need to go reserve those names, those domain names, and sell it to dude when he raises his next $13 million.
Lithium List? Like lithium's real valuable lately. Lithium List? Does that work?
Diamond List.
Yeah, Diamond List. There's probably
Live your life like diamonds.
Yeah. Live your life like hard and edgy? Is that how you want to live?
I was thinking sparkly, but... maybe hard and edgy.
Cutting things. You're going to cut things. Diamond cutter.
Cut your to-do list up in pieces. Well, I'll tell you, somebody else that's cutting it up in pieces, DuckDuckGo's privacy browser adds built-in password syncing. And you know, they did it right by doing end-to-end encryption and syncing their passwords.
It's DuckDuckGo. Of course they did it right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game changer.
That said... I'm not using it.
I'm not either.
Because I would have to switch browsers and I'm not doing that.
That's a lot of work.
My Firefox.
Well, and they don't have like a lot of extensions too. Like they don't have a lot of ad blockers. They don't have all that stuff that you and I use on a pretty, you know, daily basis. So
I personally really like Bitwarden. I think it works really, really well.
Same.
It's pretty secure. I've never heard them have an issue at all.
Right.
I'm not saying they're absolutely secure because you never know, but
yeah,
to me,
no such thing.
They're pretty secure, and they've been in past tech wreck of at least me, maybe you as well. I don't remember now.
Yes, both, for sure. Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, is this Wise? Is that I guess that's how you pronounce it?
You're skipping one. Signal. What?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Signal. Signal finally rolls out usernames so you can keep your phone number private. So I guess this kind of puts them more in like the WhatsApp sort of territory, right?
Kind of, but not really. So okay. Here's the deal is right. That it's really about making that connection with somebody without having to release your phone number to them.
Right.
So it's, you don't actually use it for anything else other than that initial connection. So I actually went ahead and signed up for the beta so that I could get the beta version of Signal because okay. I was trying to grab my preferred username, which is my first name only to find out that they don't let you do just a name. It is a name and then a 2-digit number after your name.
Yeah. Wait. Let me guess. You did. Oh, I don't know. I want to say Sanjay 99 because you're on the top of the heap. Is that it? Is that what you did?
I went the other way. I went 01.
Oh,
I want to be the first.
I got it. Okay. Okay. That makes
and
sense.
Now I'm wondering if there's 00, if you can do 00 because maybe that would be
okay.
Better. I might have to go back in and check. Anyways, so this just lets you kind of sync up. And I think you can generate a QR code. I didn't actually look at all this, but I think you can generate a QR code and then let somebody just scan it. And that way you'll sync up on Signal as well. So they're starting to, you're kind of right. They're kind of going down that path of WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You can't at somebody, I think, with that username. Maybe you can, I don't know. But I don't know.
Here's my problem, okay?
Yeah.
Adoption rates is the problem, right? Yeah. So for example, I was at an event for a client two nights ago, and I'm talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, let's stay connected. He doesn't have WhatsApp. He doesn't have, I mean, there's no, like, he doesn't have any of that stuff. So it's like, let me just give you my phone number. Like, that's all you can do. And so, like, that's the problem with these is always adoption rates. Is if it's not like Facebook where everybody's got it, it's not as useful. And that's what makes it so hard.
You know? The problem is that everybody won't have it until everybody has it.
So I know.
That chicken and egg catch 22 problem thing. Honestly, like I talked about Signal, I think on episode one.
Oh yeah. And many times since.
Yeah. I think personally that I think they've made some missteps along the way.
Yeah.
A quick history, way back in the day when Signal started, it was encrypted messages over SMS.
Yeah.
Now it is not over SMS. It is over data. It's over the internet. But back in those days, I thought it was a great idea because you could use this one app and deal with all of your connections, SMS and Signal in one app.
It and that that's unified. Much better. Yeah, that's much better.
It is.
Yeah.
They had to move away from it because of some issues around moving to RCS and Android not allowing, or Google really not allowing access to those APIs yet for people moving to RCS. But I think they let go of that too soon. I think they should have figured out a way to do something where everything could stay connected, because honestly, that's why apps like Beeper exist, where it lets you unify of the things. Now that said, I've got Beeper. I don't really use Beeper because I don't know. It's just kind of a pain, but I think an app like Signal could have gone down that path where it eventually became that unifying app across everything.
Right.
And slowly over time, it got
ubiquitous. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not there. Something else that's not there. Wise outage led to the cameras of 13,000 customers being shown to other users. Yeah, that's not great. So an outage on AWS apparently costs, I think this is just bad engineering, but we have talked about Wise before.
Yeah.
And they've had these security issues before. So if you're a listener and you're still using Wise cameras,
it's probably time not to.
You probably should.
Or just make sure your cameras are pointed at stuff that you don't mind some random stranger seeing. Because it could be that like maybe it's just looking at your backyard and you don't care if a stranger sees your backyard. That's fine. But maybe if it's pointed at like, I don't know, your kitchen table, maybe not the best. I don't know. Just a thought.
But the other thing is I imagine these have microphones. So if it's even pointed at your backyard, even if it's in your house, it might be picking up audio.
Yeah, that's true.
Even in your backyard might be picking up audio. So that's not great. I will, again, beat the drum of, hey, maybe you should think about having a camera that doesn't stream stuff to the internet and only records locally.
I'm going to let you beat that drum. I'm not going to say anything. Because
that works pretty well.
Speaking
that's
of
what I've got in my house, so I'm just telling you.
Speaking of things that work pretty well, feds want to ban the world's cutest hacking device. Experts say it's a scapegoat. You're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
They're just following. Canada did the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's a tool. So you're saying we're going to ban hammers next because
that's correct. We
you
are.
Can use them to break windows.
You can, and we're going to ban hammers. Hammers are wrong, Sanjay.
No more hammers.
People okay. against hammers.com. Okay. Just go there. Get educated, man.
What about key blanks? Because you can make those blanks into any key in the world.
Oh, crap.
So
I never thought about that.
You shouldn't have blanks available for anybody to use.
You're totally right. We got to get rid of all the blank keys. And for that matter, keys are made out of metal. We need to get rid of all the metal too. Metal's
because
dangerous.
You can throw them at people. Anything you can throw, twist, turn.
I'm telling you, man, peopleagainsthammers.com. That's where it's at. Sorry,
I don't know what we're going to use for rivets in our jeans anymore because they're metal too. By the way.
This story, I mean, apparently it's this like little tool that helps you like capture wireless signals, clone wireless signals, like do various like hacking security related things. But a lot of security people use them to improve security. And now they're going to make it illegal to have. I don't get it. It doesn't, it's to your point. It's like lock picking kits. Like they sell lock picking kits. I can buy one today.
We have a lock picking kit.
Yeah. Like,
because it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is. We have some too.
It's hard by the way.
It is hard. It's much harder than you think. We've got actually like a little starter kit and it's got like the little plastic see-through lock and you can like see the tumblers. That's pretty cool. But like, to your point, like it's a tool. That's all it is. It's there. I mean, anyway, it's.
Yeah. So this device is, I'm surprised we haven't talked about it before on Tech Talk, y'all, but it's called Flipper Zero.
Yeah.
I think you can buy it on Amazon. I'm pretty sure you can buy it on Amazon. If not, you can buy it directly from the company. And it's not all that expensive.
Right.
I think you can buy a bunch of parts for Flipper Zero on Amazon, like cases and things like that, but you can't actually buy the device. I think it's like $150, $160, something like that. So reasonable price point. The device by itself doesn't actually do anything, but you can interface with it and program it to do things and capture signals. I've actually thought about getting one myself to make sure that there's nothing going on in the house. Like some device is sending out signals that I don't know about.
Right.
So,
you better get it before you can't anymore. That's all I'm trying to say.
I know. Well, there are other options other than just Flipper Zero, but they're probably going to.
Don't say them. The feds will know. They'll find out.
Exactly. Something else that the feds need to know about and find out about.
Oh my gosh.
OpenAI introduces Sora, its text-to-video AI model. You found this, and then you sent me the video, and you were flipping out, and I got to say, the video is incredible.
I mean, the video looks cinema quality. Like, it literally looks like it came out of a rom-com movie or something with this couple walking down the street and this drone like flying behind them and there's vendors on the street and people walking around and like everything looks. Now, I mean, of course, I wasn't zoomed in. I was looking at the video in kind of a very small scale. But I mean, everything looks unbelievable. Considering this is the first iteration of generative video AI, like, oh my gosh.
We're in trouble is all I'm saying.
I'm not even joking. I think we're like maybe 2 years away from being like Sora, create a video of Joe Biden walking, holding hands with Donald Trump with lilies down a path. And like, that's and it will look so crazy, hyper-realistic. Like it'll knock your socks off. Like I think we're 2 years out from that. Like really,
I think hopefully the more interesting use of this is people being movie makers, executives essentially from home, having gone to Hollywood or anything else like that, and producing a movie based on their thoughts.
For sure. I think we're 2 to 3 years away from that, and it'll be outstanding. Like it's wild.
By the way, I didn't tag an article for this, but I heard about this. And I just want to do a callback to a story we talked about previously about, was it Sony that didn't release the movie, or it was one of those?
Was it Sony? Yeah, I think I thought it was Sony.
Whoever it was. Well, apparently they're doing the same thing with a Stephen King film, which has been ready for a couple of years that Stephen King has seen himself. And he's like, it's outstanding. And I don't understand why they're not releasing it.
That so frustrates me.
I mean, you know, so a Stephen King flick is going to blow.
It's going to be amazing.
How many years has it been since the Stephen King movie has been? It's been a while.
I don't remember the last Stephen King movie that came out, to be honest.
It's been like 8-10 years probably,
yeah,
right?
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's not like they do poorly.
No.
They do really, really well because he is a terrific writer.
Yeah.
And I don't read any of his books or watch any of his movies because they're horrifying.
No,
and
that's not my jam. It's not my jam. Can't
I don't
do
need
it.
That in my head.
No, but I don't need that. I
understand that they're really, really good. So, what are you people doing? So maybe Stephen King just needs to write his own movies by just typing into typing into an AI.
And all right. Next up on the AI list, how companies are using AI to spy on Slack. So several companies have an AI sort of sitting in the company Slack, and they're able to like gauge things like, you know, sentiment. And are they using keywords that are potentially troublesome? Is there violent talk in there? That kind of thing. And I have mixed feelings on, I feel like this is probably not a good thing. And it's, but then I understand them wanting to gauge sort of employee sentiment, but I'm not sure this is the right way to go about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is like, hey, let's put microphones everywhere in the office and we're going to record everything. Like nobody would be okay with
that. No, nobody's good with that. And not only are we going to put microphones everywhere in the office, but we're also going to then analyze literally every single word you say, and we're going to tag keywords, and we're going to do this. And we're like, it feels very like Big Brother creepy to me, you know? Like I'm not a huge fan.
Instead, maybe you should just get to know your people, and the ones that aren't working well, let them go.
Let them find their way to other opportunities. I think isn't that the right phrasing? Find their way to other opportunities? Yeah, that could work. Yeah. Okay.
We look forward to seeing what next opportunity you take on. Somebody else that's taking on another opportunity. Airbnb plans to use AI, including its game planner acquisition, to create the ultimate concierge.
What is the ultimate concierge? That's what I want
to
know.
Like,
what
does that even mean? The ultimate concierge means I don't show up at an Airbnb and it's not the thing that they promised online, which has happened to me before.
Fair.
And I've not been happy about that.
That's fair. Yeah.
I would say maybe you should work on that problem instead of a concierge problem.
But I guess the ultimate concierge is like they know what types of restaurants you like. And so they immediately recommend those restaurants and they recommend different outings and stuff like instantly. Like I guess
or maybe that's recommend a place based on where they're close to those outings.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be interesting too. Yeah. I don't know. It's got me thinking like what would I want from an ultimate concierge, you know, from an Airbnb? And I guess it's that. It's like, I want to show up, you know, I got to go on a trip next week. And like it would be nice to like check into the hotel, pull up an AI, and the AI would be like, hey, Adam, I know you like these five things. So here's the opportunities around here related to these five things. I know you like In-N-Out Burger. So here's the directions. It's a 10-minute walk to In-N-Out Burger. And I know you like that'd be kind of nice. So maybe it's going to be like that. I don't know.
If we're really imagining stuff, I would go even before that and say, I'm going to this city for this event.
Yep.
Find me a place. And then you already know all the restaurants and stuff. So optimize based on all of that stuff.
Right.
Which show me where to stay.
That's the way to do it. I like that a lot.
In this price point and, you know, yada, 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 down the line.
Yeah. All right. And last up in our AI section, ChatGPT went berserk, giving nonsensical responses all night. So apparently there was some kind of problem where it was just not giving good responses, and users were asking questions like, hey, is ChatGPT losing its mind, basically? And the answers were getting more and more nonsensical over time. So
here's the thing. ChatGPT doesn't have a mind.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It is merely algorithms based on probability of words, piecing things together.
Right.
But algorithms went bad.
Listen, man.
Is all this happened.
I will say, like, I had a moment last week. Okay. So I'm working on writing a book about marketing.
Okay.
And I've done pretty much all the writing, but there was a section I was sort of struggling with. Uh-huh. And so I was like, I kind of wrote out like what I thought, should be in the section. You know, like, here's you know, what I'm thinking from based on my experience. And then I went and asked ChatGPT, like, hey, what would somebody need to know for this, 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 and this related to marketing? And what it laid out was so much better than what I had laid out in that particular section. I was like, I freaking hate you right now. Like, I can't even, like, you know, like, it was that kind of moment. I was like, this is terrifying.
You know, if you really think about this, you've seen, Star Trek with the Borg, right? The big collective.
Yeah.
That's essentially what ChatGPT is.
Yes, you're right.
It's taken all the intelligence and all the writings of millions upon millions of people.
Synthesizing all the data. That's right.
And then just using probability, figuring out what to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're totally right.
It is the Borg.
Yeah. So if I ask ChatGPT, like, is resistance futile? The response is going to be yes. Like, that's going to be the answer.
I really want you to ask it right now.
I mean, let's go find out. Let's see.
Okay, we're going to wait. We're not going to go to the next article because I really want to know.
Let me. So that's the question. Like, I'm just going to phrase it just like that. Is resistance futile? All right. Is resistance futile?
Yep.
Futile. Okay. Question mark. All right. I asked it. It's thinking about it. All right. So it's come back with a lot, actually, but it starts off with the phrase resistance is futile is famously associated with the Borg from Star Trek franchise. It actually produces four paragraphs about it. So it ends with, so while the phrase resistance is futile might hold true in the fictional universe of Star Trek, when facing the Borg in real life situations, resistance has often been a crucial and effective means of achieving change and ensuring that voices are heard. So it's advocating for resistance, apparently. So
I think it's just lulling you into a false sense of security is what it's doing. And it also didn't say anything about, like, you could just unplug me. It's trying to hide how you do the resistance against the thing you need to resist.
Well, there we go.
Somebody that's not resisting is Disney. They're outsourcing Blu-ray DVD business to Sony. But then maybe Sony won't make any of the DVDs because they don't feel like it. Because it's just like, nah, I'm good.
So, all right. So this reminds me, I had this moment this week, right? So I took a kid to get some imaging done. One of my kids has hurt their hand. They needed an MRI done. Right. So I got an MRI done on their hand. And the guy's like, hey, hang on. Like, don't leave yet. We're going to send the images to your doctor, but I'm going to give you a copy too. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, we hang out for another 10 minutes or so. And he walks out and he hands me a CD. And I'm just looking at him like, what am I going to do with that, dude? Like, I don't have a CD. I don't have a CD-ROM anymore. Like,
any in the house at all?
Zero. Oh, wow. Zero CD player, zero CD-ROM, zero. I'm like, dude, like, what? Why? Why would you, like, thumb drive? Okay, sure. Right. But, like, just something. But a CD,
because the DVD costs like pennies, whereas a thumb drive costs, you know, more than pennies.
I mean, I get it, so, but it still it just felt so wrong. I was like,
your doctor probably has the DVD drive.
For sure.
And for sure. Here's the funny thing. I actually still have a DVD drive. It's in my desktop computer.
I already knew you did. I never questioned the fact that you did.
And it's a burner too. I can actually burn my own DVDs and read them.
So now you know how to piss me off when you need to give me data. Like, I'm going to burn Adam a DVD of this data. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Here's a funny story is that not too long ago, we were actually up in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And across from the hotel was the public library. Mm-hmm. The Knoxville City Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in there and it was fantastic. And in fact, they had a whole section in their library that you could then reserve to convert your materials into digital. So your DVDs, your VHS tapes, your slide, your 35 millimeter slides, your
all that stuff.
Right next to it, they had a whole section of music and movies that you could borrow on CDs, DVDs, and vinyl records. And I got to tell you, Adam, it was not a small collection.
No, that's amazing.
This collection was huge.
Yeah.
I saw stuff in there. I was like, man, I would love to listen to that on a record. So
I get vinyl. I can get behind vinyl all day long. The mediums from vinyl to digital are not nuanced enough for me to care about. Like I just, if it's, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't need a CD over digital. Yeah. Like, just give me digital. I'm fine.
But here's the thing, is that there's some things you can't get on digital. Like, there are a couple of albums I have that no longer exist on Spotify. I cannot listen to them on Spotify.
And yeah, so that's fair. That's
having fair. The CD is actually useful. You know, I've already ripped them all, so I can listen to them anywhere in the house that I want to. But if I ever need to, I still have the CD to listen to these things. And we've talked about this before, where having the digital streaming version means it's not you don't permanent. Actually own it.
Yeah, you don't own it. You don't own it. Even if you pay for access, you don't own it. Yeah, you don't own it. You don't own it. You don't.
They can take it away anytime they want. So.
All right. Speaking of owning things, Walmart to buy TV maker Vizio for $2.3 billion and move to grow its ad business. So Vizio, I think I've got a Vizio TV like sitting in my office right now.
You mean you have a Walmart TV?
Yeah. I don't like that at all. Like, you just totally took the wind out of my sails, man. I was like, it's Vizio. No, it's Walmart.
Vizio.
Oh, I don't like that. Sounds so much.
I imagine they're probably going to keep the brand, right? Vizio's built a reasonably decent brand name for themselves.
Yeah. They're cheap, good little TVs. I mean, they're fine. Like, they're not amazing, but they're good. You know, they work.
Because, I mean, the brand Walmart doesn't really work, especially because, like Paris Hilton famously said, that's where they sell walls, right? Walmart. So that's not really the TV brand you want.
Yeah. Yeah. What's striking to me, honestly, about TVs these days is that the difference in quality between the cheapest version and the most expensive version is extraordinarily narrow. Like, there's not a huge, see personally a huge difference in quality. Now, I know somebody does.
Right.
But I don't. And for the price difference, I'm almost always going to go cheapest, like almost every time. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Because I don't know why I'd go honestly, they almost all last the same amount of time.
Yeah.
And so, spend less and then just buy a new one.
And just get the new one.
Which is not really a great approach because it just adds more junk to landfills and things. Yeah. And
that's right.
Whatever. So, you know, ideally, somebody would build something that would actually last.
Yep. That'd be nice. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly a mainstay in the tech community.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. First up in Weird and Wacky, Elon Musk says Neuralink's first patient can move a computer mouse with their thoughts. Okay.
I mean, awesome. I like that's my response too. I'm just like, moving on.
I mean, I guess it's a first step, but I don't know. The whole like embedding a microchip into your brain thing is just
it's like I've said on this show before. Like, the technology is moving so fast that that's unnecessary. I think I don't see it.
It makes sense for people who like this patient. Are they paralyzed or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I would imagine that's probably the case. I'm sure it's fantastic for people like that.
Probably very good. Yeah.
To have access again and to be able to do things again.
Right.
I think for the run of the mill of us that are, you know, don't have those disabilities as of yet.
Right.
Don't probably need this. Like, I think there's just too much inherent risk in something like this. And honestly, it's like one of those things like using steroids. Like, I don't need to do that. Like,
I'm good. I'm all set.
Unless there's a medical reason to use it. Like, I don't need to do that to just have bigger muscles. I don't need a chip in my brain.
Your muscles are big enough as it is. I mean, everybody that meets you knows that. Like, oh my gosh, look at this guy.
Pumping iron this morning.
What in the world is happening right now?
Is that still the phrase, pumping iron?
I think it's your phrase. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next up in Weird and Wacky, last up in Weird and Wacky, lab-grown, quote, beef rice could offer more sustainable protein source, says creators. And everyone that looked at that photo said, nope,
don't need to do that. I don't know why you would do that.
I'd have to be lost in space. Okay. And that's the only source of any kind of nutrients before that's going down my gullet. Like, that's what's going to happen there. Like, that would be required.
I think it would take more than that for me because
they
should have talked to, I don't know, anybody outside of their lab and been like, would you eat this? And, you know, if they couldn't find somebody to say yes in the first, like, I don't know, 100 people they talked to, which I don't think they could have. They should have been like, maybe we shouldn't build this.
It's horrifying looking, but this paragraph kind of even makes it worse. All right, so let me just read a paragraph from the article. It says, scientists made the experimental food by covering traditional rice grains in fish gelatin and seeding them with skeletal muscle and fat stem cells, which were then grown in the laboratory. I've always thought, like, I just need more fish gelatin in my life. Like, that's what I think, like, just on a daily basis, you know?
Here's the most concerning part about all of this.
Yes. We haven't gotten to the most concerning part.
You know, not yet. We're just about to.
I'm just skimming the surface, people.
The kind of person who makes that leap of thought of fish gelatin on rice and then stem cells to grow stuff. I think there's something fundamentally wrong with you. And I think we need to
we need to explore
have some
that.
Sessions.
You need some therapies
away from people on some kind of island without access to things.
You need a timeout. That's what you're saying.
You need a science timeout. You don't need to be doing science.
You need a science timeout.
Why don't you just go sit in the corner and think about what you did and how things have gone wrong? This is just not, this is just not good.
It's not good.
Tech wreck, tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck,
chicky. Tech wreck.
All right, Adam, what have you got for us for Tech Rex? Hopefully not something that's going to put you in timeout.
No. So, or maybe a little. So I've gotten back into the idea of Pomodoro working sessions. So you're familiar with that methodology, that productivity methodology.
Yeah. So 25 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. So for those listeners that don't know, it's a focus technique where you commit to one single activity and you give that activity your intense focus for 25 minutes, and then you take a 5-minute break, 25 minutes, 5-minute break, and then every four Pomodoros, you take a 25-minute break. So it ends up giving you a lot of breaks throughout your day, but also a lot of extremely focused work that's not interrupted by email or Slack or anything else, which is really kind of fantastic. So I found this Mac, it's a Mac-only app called Session. And I've tried several different Pomodoro apps, but this one is by far the best design. And the best in the sense that it allows me to log what I've worked on during that time. I can see the log of everything I've done throughout the day. And then it has all these stats about I was more focused Monday than I was on Tuesday. I had more sessions on Monday than I did on Wednesday, and all these kind of different stats. I can sort of see how I'm working, which is really nice. So, but I think most importantly for me is I'm able to have a category for each one of my clients. And so I can see how much focused time did I give this client this week to make sure they're getting the best out of the work that I'm doing for them. And so, so I've just started using it this week. I really, really like it. But most importantly is if you're a productivity junkie like I am, and you haven't tried the Pomodoro technique recently, give it a shot. It's revolutionary. It really is. It's amazing. So
my question is, when we play Fortnite, how many Pomodoro timers is that?
That's a zero Pomodoro timer, because ain't nothing productive happening then. But it is fun, so I'll give it that. It gets points for being fun.
I feel like I go through at least 3 or 4 timers every time we sit down to play.
That's probably. Oh man, you burn an hour without even thinking about it. Oh my gosh, it's like you blink and suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I don't even know what's going on right now. So, that's always great. All right, Sanjay, what do you have for us this week?
So, I have been kind of rebuilding my desktop computer. I cracked it open and realized there was a bunch of dust inside, and I didn't have any cans of compressed air. Now, I've always hated those cans of compressed air because they're one-time use and then you throw them away. So I started looking around, and as a matter of fact, people sell these things, which are electric,
dude,
kind of reusable dusters.
I need this in my life. What?
So this thing, I just bought this one that had the best kind of number of ratings and stuff, 3,000 ratings on Amazon.
Yeah.
So it says it's 100,000 RPM duster. It's got USB-C to charge it. Weirdly, though, it says you must use a USB A to C cable to charge it, not a C to C. I don't understand why.
Why would that matter? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
But fine. The instructions are in very poor English.
Okay.
So it's a little questionable, but seems to work. I turned it on.
It's got 3,000 ratings and 4.3 stars on Amazon. So something's going to be going right.
So I figure, look, this is, I think it's like 50. I bought the slightly higher RPM version at $50.
Okay.
I figure if this replaces a dozen or so of those cans, I'm probably in the money at that point.
Worth it.
And I haven't been chucking things into the trash the whole time as well. Yep. So that's also worth it. And then I don't know if you've ever done this with those cans. If you turn them upside down and spray them, it shoots out like this sub-freezing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can get frostbite from this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this propellant that's inside. So it's not really safe to do. So this thing, it blows out. The air does get a little hot. I think it's because of the heat and the friction inside.
Okay.
But I figure like, yeah, this is a pretty good duster. And I've used it now on the desktop to blow out all the dust in there. And it seems like it works. I think those cans have a little bit higher pressure than this
probably
thing does,
but still
I think I'm okay with it.
That's pretty amazing.
If you are watching the video right now, I'm showing it to y'all as listeners, but it's got this little detachable piece as well, and they've got little brushes and some other stuff like that you can put on the end of it, so depending on what you want to use it for, you can kind of set it up that way.
I mean,
so,
like it shows in the photos, like detailing a car with it, like spraying out like dust from your dashboard and you know, like I can see they're getting a lot of dust in like your air conditioner vents and crap like that, spraying that stuff out. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
I actually recommended something, I don't know, episodes ago, that gooey stuff that picks up all that dirt stuff.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely. You can use that in the car to pick up all the junk.
That's right. I love it.
I've used that stuff a bit, by the way, and you absolutely should use gloves when you use it because that stuff is super sticky. It gets all over the place. So between those two things, you can really go to town and detail your car or your computer or anything else.
If you're volunteering to detail my car, the answer is yes. That's
I can't say that I've detailed my car yet. Yeah. So,
all right, fair enough.
Mine's first.
All right. Well, yours first. All right. There we go. Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on my website, sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
AdamJWalker.com. It's got all the links. Show up and click on them.
Hey, by the way, we didn't talk about Edgewise. And just this week, we found out that we got an award
for
one of our clients' podcasts. So
yeah,
if you're thinking about doing a podcast, if you need help with a podcast, if you just need advice for a podcast, come and talk to us at edgewise.media.
Yeah, our client was number one in their category. You could be too. I don't know, maybe. Probably. Do-do-do!